Welcome into DC on Screen. I am your host, David Z. Robertson, and this, the darkness to my light, Jason.
Hello.
So, today we're talking about, and getting really super spoilery on, Flash Season 2, Episode 5, The Darkness and the Light. Man, another fantastic Flash episode, man. I don't think I have anything bad to say about this show.
Nope.
I just don't.
There's not enough of it?
All right, well, this has been DC on Screen.
Like, we really could. We could just, every show for The Flash so far would just be us popping up and saying, opening credits. Well, we still love it. End credits. Done. I mean,
pretty much.
Like, name me a thing you weren't happy with, because I sure as hell can't. Kavanaugh, coming back, absolutely killing it.
You know what I wasn't happy with?
What?
The fact that we didn't get to see Jay Garrick's friend who lives on Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. Those bastards. They don't even have to tell me which one. Like, grab anybody out of the Atlantis canon and bring them on. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. They can fight Black Manta next week for all I give a fuck. That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, so first off, I want to say that I did not think it was possible to love Tom Cavanaugh or the character of Harrison Wells more than I already did, but they have made that completely possible for me.
Yeah, they found a way.
They found a way. I really do. I hope that we have eventually some super fan out there who just, like, every episode lists all of the ridiculous references we make quietly and never mention.
45% of which are Futurama.
Futurama and Star Trek, probably, yeah.
Or in that case, the combination.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing. You know, the vast majority will just be the Futurama episode where no fan has gone before.
Right. The thing that we agree is actually that episode is so far as flawless as this season.
Oh, man. So, Harrison Wells is, well, I mean, the original was just, he was evil.
Right.
But this Harrison Wells is a dick.
Right? Like, the him and Cisco interaction's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he's discovering kind of what Cisco is, when he's outing him, did all the bells go off in your head when he gets to Caitlin and the thing doesn't go off?
Yeah.
It's going to be Earth 2's Killer Frost. We were right.
I'm not sure, man. She could still be turned into something.
I don't
remember. She had that. Recall that when Cisco said that he didn't want anyone to know that he was a superhuman, Caitlin says, "I'm sure none of us would turn evil just because we suddenly got superpowers, even if Wells gave them to us."
I know. I think they were laying that in because they're going, like, she's going to be so surprised when she sees that. Like, she's trusting nature versus nurture here. And when she finds out that nurture on Earth 2 got her turned her into an evil thing, it's going to be a huge thing for her.
No, I felt like that was just...
I think that's where they're heading.
No, I felt like that was foreshadowing for her becoming an evil villain.
It could still be done. But they have to come up with another trick to get her to Meta. I don't... Because I got the feeling that if she had been even one who hasn't manifested yet, his watch still probably would have gone off. I think that's how that thing's designed. They weren't too specific. They still haven't told me what his gun is, have they?
Yeah.
I haven't caught it.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think so. No. But no, I think it just senses metahumans. It doesn't, people who are already metahumans, it doesn't tell you whether or not you could become one.
Well, they don't go into whether it's a biological marker or whatever it is and whether you can catch it before it manifests and all that crap. So we don't really know. But if that, I like my theory. I'm sticking with it.
Okay. Stick with it. I disagree with it.
That's what makes them fun to stick with.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanna go home big.
Dude, Cisco was on point though this entire episode.
He's the man.
When he kind of Perry's on a date with Patty.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, finally,
right? And, who is the most awkward biped in the history of anthropology? I love her. I love her so much.
I want to marry her. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I just very much want to gently squeeze her shoulders and tell her it will be okay.
I think like, if you ever met Patty Spivot in real life somehow,
you would sweat for her.
I'm pretty sure, like, Patty Spivot is the, like, alternate universe representation of your dog.
Yes.
Jason's dog is a pathetic thing.
famously nervous.
Famously nervous and just retarded. I don't know any other word for it, really.
I'm the proud owner of one very dumb and cute creature.
Adorable creature. I'm pretty sure it was dropped on its head multiple times.
And when I finally find it, anyone who cares, you'll eventually see her on the Facebook page when I finally find a crypto outfit. I can't find one.
Oh, though. Yeah. That's a shame.
I know.
Well, all you need is the cape. The cape and the collar.
I wanted the specific, I want to do it right.
No, that's what crypto is dressed in, is just a cape and a collar.
I know, but if you're going to torture your dog with an outfit, I want it to be a good one. I haven't found a good enough one. I haven't found a good enough strip of cape.
So I love Patty. I love Barry. I don't even want Iris and Barry to get together at this point. Like, I love Patty and Barry so much.
Yeah. And Iris is going to have a whole thing to deal with later in the year. Like Joey
in this
mentioned,
episode,
what
did
he say? I wish we could just have one week where somebody from our past didn't come back. Yeah. Good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, Barry's blind and Cisco's watching him on the sunglasses and goes, still here creeping and peeping.
Perfect.
Just Cisco is just amazing. He's just amazing this episode. Yeah. And dude, this episode, he's going to be called Vibe. Like,
he got
Barry
it.
Gives him his name.
He's got
Barry
his name.
Barry gives him his name.
He loved it. We loved it. They're over there cheersing.
Right.
And then we find out what Wells really came back to do.
Oh, and Cisco and Barry both like that Patty named him King Shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, Cisco was straight up impressed. King Shark. Yeah, good job. Did you like Super Shooty Joe this episode? He's very gun happy.
I thought it was funny.
I think he was sponsored by the NRA for this particular
show. Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
bang, bang, bang.
I mean, it's not a natural reaction. Like, he comes in, he's confused, and he just shoots him. And then some fine camera work with Flash grabbing the bullets.
I love that they did the previously on, even without actually having her in the episode, they brought in Tina McGee. Like, dude, I am so certain they're going to do something.
I know.
At this point with the 90s Flash. Like,
it's in my gut. I feel good about it.
They keep talking about Tina McGee, like, oh, something's going to happen. Something's got to give.
It's got to.
By the way, I love the Speed Mirage.
Oh, yes. We knew it could be done. I mean,
oh, sure.
Reverse Flash had done it, similar thing, previous season when he outed himself.
I was just waiting.
And yeah,
oh man.
They've made it abundantly clear that this is the fastest. This is the fastest version of the Flash that the multiverse has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
At least that Harrison Wells is aware of.
Right.
And certainly Garrick sees it too. But
yeah. He just knows. I mean, he knows just between Barry and Garrick, and he's like, no, Barry's faster than you.
Right. But you get the feeling, though, that Wells did a little more calculation, a little more research before he popped up in this one. I don't know if it's just Earth 1 and Earth 2. I'm just not willing to believe that somebody like Wells thinks, well, clearly the universe just stopped at 2. They keep saying multiverse.
Of course he wouldn't. Of course he wouldn't. Well, I mean, it stands to reason that if there are two, there's going to be more.
Right.
I don't know that he would have had the opportunity to go between other universes yet. Mm. But I might be wrong. I don't know.
No, they haven't said it. I keep feeling like I should assume that though.
I even enjoyed, and you were talking to me about earlier about how it didn't make a lot of sense. Like, Wells didn't have like a leg to stand on in this argument.
I didn't feel like he won the argument so much that the crew of reporters should have been clapping for him.
Right. Like, there's a whole bit where, like, he's standing there and, like, Jay comes in and, like, it was going to be a press conference about, like, a thing that Wells had created to tell you that metahumans are there.
Right.
But I honestly think that, like, in this universe, Wells is the kind of guy who is, like, he's got everyone on his side. Like, the burden of proof is on Jay Garrick's Flash, who won't find Zoom. And then you've got this guy who's, like, over here, like, a man of science. Like, he's freaking, how would you put it? Like, he's Neil deGrasse Tyson, or whatever his name is, and Stephen Hawking put together.
Yeah, I call him, like, Neil deGrasse Hawking. Like, yeah.
Right. So, he is, like, the coolest scientist ever in this world.
Right.
Of course no one's going to believe the Flash. Like, you haven't done your job. Why would I have put... No, I wouldn't have created all these metahumans.
Right.
Like, oh, you're a bastard. You're a bastard.
I love it. I bought it, I guess, for the sake of getting through the show, but it wasn't. It didn't strike me as the most believable thing I've ever seen here.
I don't know. I really did. I bought it. And I bought it because of that. Just like, oh my God, they're all in love with him. And how could they not be? He's amazing. Look at him.
Right.
I'm even interested in his daughter. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's see what she's got. Like,
yeah.
We got a Wells daughter here. That's cool. You know, like, is she Tess's daughter? Like, Wells' daughter. Mean?
Oh, that'd be amazing. But Wells' daughter has already given us something. If not, the first glimpse at Zoom with that voice.
Yeah, man.
Holy shit, that voice was good casting.
Well, I mean, we've heard him before, just not very much.
Yeah. This is the first time I've really gotten to hear him, you know. Well, really in full sentence form, it seems like.
I mean, it's Tony Todd, man. First time you
got to sink in and really soak up that freaking Candyman voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's the thing, is it also gave us, we know why Wells, you know, suddenly cares so much about stopping Zoom himself.
Yeah.
As Garrick was so keen to point out through the episode that we didn't have that explanation.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. The thing that didn't make sense to me was that Jay was like, well, if you guys are going to do this, I'm leaving. I'm like, no, man, they're going to die. You're leaving because you think they're going to die?
Right. No, he couldn't in good conscience sit there and watch them do a plan where they knew they were going to die, so he was going to leave and let them die. It's not great logic.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, don't. They need your help.
I mean, I'm not sure they do. I don't know what he can do. He can't do that much. Like, during the course of this episode, Wells eclipsed him as knowing more about how the Flash works than someone who was a Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. He did get a little superfluous, really.
I don't know. I really liked that scene where Jay and Harrison are just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and did you see the look on Barry's face there for a second? Just let the boys work this out before stopping.
Yeah.
I love this. They've done it several times in the episode. Like, Barry's the one who barks at both of them and tells them to calm the fuck down. Barry's the one who pulls Joe out in the hallway and explains to him that shooting a man is unacceptable. Like, Barry's clearly the leader of his clubhouse at this point. He actually is. He's taken over. It would have been Wells in the previous season, and him learning how to have those leadership discussions. No, he's on it.
You know, I think I might be willing to believe that it's those leadership skills and the attitude that Barry is exhibiting right now that would lead us into the idea that he is Zoom in Earth 2.
I'm really digging that theory so far. And that's another part of, I think that's, part of what's leading into it is Wells is so sure that it's Barry that can stop him.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. All right. So the other big bit is that we actually met Shiera.
We did.
Hot girl. Who appears to be not from around here. She did give Cisco the digits.
She did. And I feel so bad for him because he's going to get dumped for a few weeks.
Yeah.
That's not a long-term relationship.
No. No. But, I mean, like, come on. He's got a Lisa Snart waiting on him somewhere.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Cisco is one of the most well-adjusted characters in fiction. He'll be fine. I mean, that really is. He's a man in charge of his own emotions. Have you seen him really go too far? When someone's being a dick to him, he's a dick back. But you don't see him really. Yeah, he does. He stands up for himself when he's supposed to. He cooperates when he shouldn't. Or he should.
Whatever. Yeah.
It'll be hard to unseat him.
The only other thing I would say about this episode is that Iris is a quick shot, man. She's a sharp shooter.
She is. And, you know, we haven't even talked about Dr. Light at all. I dug it.
Was
I dug
there Dr. Light. Anything?
I liked it. I'll tell you this, though. And this is one of those moments where, you're watching the costume design of these people, and I kind of thought, man, good outfit. I liked the way they designed her. I did.
I did like the outfit, yeah.
I liked the power. It was a cool power.
Sure.
She was a little bit lame and very dumb. Because here's my problem. If someone's doing a speed mirage, okay, and you just defeated it by doing this weird, and I'm just thinking video game style, right? So I'm using my little, like, shooter range attack. That didn't work. So I used the 360 attack, you know?
Right.
And then that works. So when he starts doing it again, why do I start shooting with my range attack again?
Mm-hmm.
Listen here,
I thought about that.
They said that she's safely locked away. I think she's probably got brain damage. Did you hear the sound of that pillar when she hit it? Hey, me and the girlfriend were watching, and when her head hit that pillar, we were like, ooh. Like, it was the same reaction I have watching football sometimes, when you hear the pads really get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wide receiver's up in the air and gets it right in the ribs, you know?
Based on her inability to do the same attack twice, I would say she already had brain damage.
I'm not thinking she improved as a person or villain during the course of this episode. I liked her, though. She was
No. Of course, Linda Park has never been that smart to begin with. I mean,
I thought she was a pretty average girl, I guess.
So far in this show, she hasn't been. What I meant. She's just, like, constantly trying to figure out, like, why Iris is being Iris and why Barry is being... I'm like, oh, my God. Shut up. Just walk away, Linda. Just walk away.
Walk away, you dime store snoop.
Dime store snoop. There's a reason she's so taken with Iris as a reporter.
She wants to be as good as Iris is?
Well, she's easily impressed. Maybe one day? She probably still watches reruns of Shelby Woo. And goes, how does she do it?
Right.
It's an old school Nickelodeon reference for you guys.
Right. Right. Still trying to
find that super fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ow. Somewhere out there. I can't remember if Hawk Girl has a necklace that is in any way special, because she kind of grabs the necklace it looks like a tiny stone at the end of a rope, essentially. She kind of grabs at it, and I couldn't remember. I just couldn't remember if that's a thing for her.
I thought maybe it was an ankh or something. I don't know.
I was wondering if it wouldn't show up later, because they seemed to focus on it. But she did say, you know, she gave him the kind of "I'm not from here" speech. I kind of thought the hell you say. Did you notice this later? Barry's given the speech at the end about he's the one giving the motivational speech, and they even glance over to Iris, who gives them this like almost a wink and a nod, like she's passing over the baton now.
Mm-hmm.
He can be his own motivational speaker now. I'll have to go find my own storyline.
Damn it! I have nothing. Nothing but a secret brother.
Right.
What do I do?
I'm going to go hunt down my secret brother, who may or may not be the other speedster.
Holla. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was all I had.
How much?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What do we have? Isn't it Zoom next week, and then, like, Grodd the week after?
Yeah, it's Inter-Zoom, and then the next week is Guerrilla Warfare.
Oh, God. I'm going to be so happy in the next couple of weeks, at least.
Mm-hmm. I just want an episode. I hope Guerrilla Warfare, and I know this is silly.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just have an episode where, like, Grodd versus King Shark?
It's not a thing about that's silly. Expensive, not silly. That sounds fantastic, frankly.
I want Zoom to send, like, King Shark after Flash just when Grodd is deciding to come after Flash, and, like, he's like, well, this won't do, and they both fight, and Zoom and Barry are both kind of on the sidelines, and Zoom is like, this is pretty incredible.
Should we fight, or you want to watch this? Let's watch this.
Yeah.
All right, no, that's how we find, that's how we figure out who Vandal Savage is and just how bad he is. Because when we find Vandal Savage, he's actually, like, trapped King Shark and Gorilla Grodd and is making them fight to the death.
Can we have that character instead? Vandal Salad?
Vandal Salad.
Oh, I was around during ancient Rome. I'm a Caesar salad.
Right.
All right.
Oh.
We are DC on screen. And you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find us on DCOnScreen.com and Facebook, by the way. If you are interested in a similar kind of podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I've done a couple episodes over there. It's been a lot of fun. Those guys are good guys. So go check them out. And we'll be coming up with our Haunted review. That's the Arrow Constantine crossover event that we've been looking forward to. If you guys have been listening to all of our shows, you know we can't stop talking about John Constantine, and we're about to talk about him a little bit more.
We don't have to. We finally have the outlet,
right? So it's gonna be exciting. And until then, keep some DC on your screen.